Hello, everybody. Tonight, I wanted to talk about how we bring lessons to ourselves in life and how so many people come in and out of our lives and with good examples and bad examples, and if we use the tool of observation, how it can be real helpful and how we can use it. The Bible says not to brag on yourself. It says to be humble and remember where your help comes from. So that would be one thing. If we would see somebody that would be bragging, we can learn from them not to brag. So I want to tell you guys a story. I work with this guy in vending on my business, and he happens to be a minister, so we love to talk about the Bible and everything. And he had put together like a toolbox out of a briefcase with foam in it. I won't bore you with details, but I want to explain this part. With foam in it, and then he has each little cutout for like the hammer, this, that. It's like perfect, right? So we're driving and he's going, oh my gosh, I'm just a genius, Liz. Look what I made for this. And it keeps the long nose pliers closed. So he did this really cool device that I thought was ingenious, but he was going on and on about what an awesome engineer he is and everything else. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this guy's a preacher. And I kept thinking about this verse. As soon as he kept talking about himself, the thing like flew off into my car, and I swear we haven't found it since. So now he doesn't have the proper tool for that. So I could have learned from that, but I want to tell you what happened just a week later. So anyone golf in here? So most everybody knows what a par is, right? When you do it in the, how do you explain it? John? Yeah, designated number of strokes or whatever, and you make it in. Well, I had just went golfing with my parents and friend from church, and first hole, right to the flag, put it in, I'm going, yes, and I'm going, P-A-R, and I'm going, can you spell par? I'm telling everyone, can you spell par? Can you spell par? I throw my golf bag on my back, and I'm still saying, can you spell par? Can you spell par? And they're going, golly, stop. I go, well, maybe that's one of my lessons I have to learn, but I'm really not braggadocious. But anyways, so just as I said that's one of my lessons I have to learn, there's this incline I was walking down, and I twisted my ankle, fell into a pot of mud, and I'd play like the rest of the day with mud all over my pants. So I guess you have to learn from other people. I could have learned a week before, but I didn't, I guess. As it says in the book of Job, God uses man's own brilliance to trap him. He stumbles over his own wisdom and falls. So that could be literal or figuratively. I really believe in... My friends probably hear me say this all the time, that I really, really believe that life is fair. No matter what happens in your life, no matter what situation you're stuck in, if you really look back to the beginning of it, you made a choice that caused all this stuff. No matter how you look at it, if you really are being honest with yourself. I think God sends us many examples for us to watch and learn from. In Corinthians 4, it says, don't follow the ways of the world. You can look at that like a zillion different ways. The big businesses that are going down, and everybody wants to be rich, and they cheat the books. And so don't follow the ways of the world. Goes on to say in Corinthians 10, all things happen as examples, as lessons to us, to warn us against doing the same things so we could learn from them. So I think if we did less judging and maybe looked where people, we don't really know how people, how their lives have gone and where their footsteps have been, so we have to kind of watch that we don't judge and we just learn from whatever we can learn from. It also goes on to say, so be careful if you are thinking, oh, I would never behave like that. Let this be a lesson for you, for you too may fall into the same situation. But remember this, the wrong desires that come into your life aren't anything new and different. How many times have you guys been in like a horrible situation in life and you're thinking, oh my gosh, nobody has been through this and nobody understands? Even back in biblical times, they wrote that nothing's new and different. Many others have faced exactly the same problems as you do. And then if we look at our very first examples in our lives, like our mom, our dad, brothers, sisters, cousins, aunts, whatever, we can look at, I bet if you guys really go back and look at maybe, let's just say, for example, how you looked at your parents' relationship and probably most of us go, God, why did my mom stay with my dad, or why did my dad stay with my mom, or I can't believe my sister does drugs, or whatever the case may be. I bet we all kind of did that. And if you look now in your life, I guarantee there's a few things that you judged with your little eyes that you have gone through now because it's something you had to work out. So just something to think about. It's not fun, but you do have to take full responsibility, especially with our thought pattern, you know? There's no one else. You can't blame the devil because we don't believe in the devil, darn it. So, cool thing about spiritualism is that all God asks us to do is live lovingly. And if we realize that we're all connected, no matter what, we're all connected, we wouldn't do bad. Well, we would try our best not to do bad to anyone or talk bad about anyone. In Corinthians 4, it says, I really like this. I'd never read this in the Bible. It says, don't you realize that all of you together are the house of God? I thought that was really neat. So think about it. Don't you realize that all of you together are the house of God and that the Spirit of God lives among you in his house? So, like Millie always says, we're just little bubbles of God. We're all connected to God. And if we really, really believe that and really, if we really believe that in our heart of hearts, then we're going to do our best to help anyone along the line, no matter what they look like to us, no matter how they come across. We can always do our best to help people. And it would be much easier in life if we could do that. In Luke 6, I wanted to read this. It says, try to show as much compassion as your father does. Never criticize or condemn, or it will all come back on you. Or it will all come back on you. How many times does that happen? Go easy on others, then they will do the same for you. For if you give, you will get. So it's nice to make sure we give good stuff instead of bad stuff, right? Your gift will return to you in full and overflowing measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, and running over. Whatever measure you use to give, whether it be large or small, will be used to measure what is given back to you. Here are some of the story illustrations Jesus used in his sermons. He always, if you guys read the Bible, he always, Millie does this a lot too, it's interesting, he always gives like parables, you know, where, and then most times the disciples are like, oh, what did that mean? What did that mean? So he would always explain it after. What good is it for one blind man to lead another? This is what he's talking to the guys about. What good is it for one blind man to lead another? He will fall into a ditch and pull the other down with him. So it's so important in observing other people, really making sure that you're following along the path that's true to you and that you're wearing your comfortable shoes and not pleasing other people, that you've got to really, really, really got to be true to yourself, and I think that's when you'll be the happiest in life. How can a student know more than his teacher? But if he works hard, he may learn as much. And why quibble about the speck in someone else's eye, his little fault, when there's a board in your own? How can you think of saying to him, let me help get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't even see past the board in your own? I can't believe they wrote this so long ago and it still works now. It's amazing. First get rid of the board in your own eye, and then perhaps you can see well enough to deal with his speck. A tree from good stock doesn't produce scrub fruit, nor do trees from poor stock produce choice fruit. Are you getting all this? A tree is identified by the kind of fruit it produces. Figs never grow on thorns or grapes on bramble bushes. A good man produces good deeds from a good heart, and an evil man produces evil deeds from his hidden wickedness. Whatever is in the heart overflows into speech. That's a tough one, right? Okay, for me it is. I wanted to tell you guys one other... I really like this particular parable. It's in Mark 4, and think about it. Millie, if you guys are in your class, you've heard it like 10 million times probably, but think about it, and for some reason it really hit me this afternoon when I was reading the Bible, and it kind of puts people in different groups, so kind of figure out where you're at in one of these groups, and then you can kind of know what to work on and where you're at or where you want to be. A farmer decided to sow some grain. As he scattered it across his field, some of it fell on a path, and the birds came and picked it off the hard ground and ate it. Some fell on thin soil with underlying rock. It grew up quickly enough, but soon wilted beneath the hot sun and died because the roots had no nourishment in the shallow soil. Other seeds fell among thorns that shot up and crowded the young plants, so they produced no grain. But some of the seeds fell into good soil and yielded 30 times as much as he had planted, some of it even 60 or 100 times as much. After, when he was alone, the disciples, like they always did, they always go like, what did that mean? They had no idea. So here's how he explained it. All right, the farmer he's talking about is anyone who brings God's message to others trying to plant good seeds within their life. And the hard pathway where some of the seeds fell represents the hard hearts of some of those who hears God's message, but then negativity comes and at once and tries to make them forget it. The rocky soil represents the hearts of those who hear the message with joy, but like young plants in such soil, their roots don't go very deep, and the first time they get along fine, but as soon as persecution begins, they wilt. So we've seen that a lot, and I'm probably everybody, we've all done that, where our life gets going so nice, and it's perfect, and then all of a sudden one thing goes bad, and the first person you want to blame is God, or... And it's not fair because you got to look back at yourself on that. The thorny ground represents the hearts of people who listen to the good news and receive it. But all too quickly, the attractions of this world and the delights of the wealth and search for success and lure of nice things come in and crowd out God's message from their hearts so that no crop is produced. The good soil represents the hearts of those who truly accept God's message and produce plentiful harvest, 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as what was planted in their hearts. When someone lights a lamp, does he put a box over it to shut out the light? Of course not. The light couldn't be seen or used. A lamp is placed on a stand to shine and be useful. Wouldn't that be nice if we could do that all the time, huh? And what is hidden will someday come to light. If you have ears, listen, and be sure to put into practice what you hear. All the stuff that we learn in class or learn here, I don't think, I was raised Catholic and most of my family's Catholic, and I totally love, I like a lot of things about the Catholic religion, but I don't think there could be anything easier than all God asks us to do is live lovingly and then be a good example for him. And it's easier said than done, but you really believe we're all connected. I believe it makes it easier with our walk. And the last thing I wanted to show you guys was, I forget your name, Dawn. I don't know, a bunch of you probably have heard stories of my grandma who sends hearts, like we'll, ever since she died, we'll spill like a glass of water and it'll go into a heart shape, or ketchup on a thing will be like a heart-shaped ketchup. Well, I was, I had to bring this picture, so I'll send it around. We were hiking, and I swear this is a rock that was found on the path, and I think it was so cool, and I already forgot your name.
Dawn.
And Dawn made that balloon set up for Susie, and I asked my grandma to come, and there's a heart right in the middle. I thought that was cool. So thank you for your time, and what's that?
He had no way of knowing.
No way of knowing.
We're talking about
Blackwood.
Talk about Blackwood and how you got interested in reading the Bible.
Oh yeah, when I was reading the Bible today, I could tell you guys like 10 million stories, but when I was reading the Bible, I was laying on the bed, and I swear this huge, he comes to me like in the black bird, that's kind of what represents it, but I was laying on my bed, and this black bird just, I was thinking, should I talk about this? And it almost like stopped right at my window and kept going. So... that's it. They've heard so many of my stories, Millie. What the hell?
Oh,
so awful. Oh, I forgot about this. See, that's so awful because I get so many of them. When I was driving today, I go, gosh, they've heard all my God stories. I'm going to bore them to death if I tell them any more of the same God stories. You know, I could tell you a million of them, but I think all of you have heard them. So I'm driving today. Talk about you get what you ask for. I was driving. I go, come on, Blackwing, give me a real good God story so I have something to tell the new so I don't bore them again. So I'm driving, and I totally forgot to get gas, and I was late for an appointment. So all of a sudden, my car, right when I thought that, my car's like, I go, no way, and I have to go uphill. So if anyone knows, when the car's like this, you're done, right? So I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is not the God story I wanted. And so I call, so somehow me and Marcus were on the phone. I go, Marcus, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm already late. This guy's irritating. Now I've run out of gas. I go, well, maybe I asked Blackwing for a God story. Maybe he'll help me make it. And I swear, you guys, I was out of gas, and somehow it went like, made it for 3 miles, and I like coasted into the gas station. So. I'll pass this around so you guys can check it out.
So this kid who never wanted bother reading the Bible, she started asking for Blackwing to help her. And of all the things that she read tonight, each one of those things, where are you, Liz? Each one of those things came into her life just at the right time. And now she told you about starting the slide just because she was kidding about, I got the par, you know? And she slipped. But it's not just that. Each one of those quotes that she gave you tonight, Blackwing sent her to that in the Bible, which answered the question that she was having within her heart at the time. Liz, did I explain that right? So he'd send her to that part of the Bible that answered your question. She would say, you know, what do you mean by follow the blind and go in the ditch? So, to ask about that. Opens the Bible right to the spot. You didn't tell that tonight.
Yeah, that's not true. I was going to call you, but it's too late. So I'm going, oh my gosh, I know what I want to talk about, but I'm not sure what. And I go, as long as you open the Bible, maybe, you know, want to talk to me.
So that's the way it's been with each thing in her life, and it's hard to explain it, but I hope you're getting the gist of it. So what she shared with you tonight is her God story kind of life as it's been transpiring since she got acquainted with this soul that's free of the body. She can ask things like, where did I park my car? And there'll be a blackbird come and fly right over wherever her car is. This is not just a slight acquaintance, but it's somebody free of the body that really wants to work with her, and all she has to do is stay alert. The Bible is this phenomenal book, and I'm so sorry there's so many people threw it out because it's got those words in there they don't want to hear, I guess. But it is so phenomenal that it fits right in your life. Now, whatever question you're having, whatever it is you're going through, you'll find the answers in that Bible. If you'll pray, hold it like this. It sounds kind of silly. Try it. And yes, God or your angel or whoever is, whoever you choose to ask, great-grandma or, you know, Uncle Joe or Jake or whoever, like that. And then you open it, it'll open. And there it will show you the answer to your question. Try it. If you haven't tried it, you won't believe me. Has anybody here tried it? Hallelujah. What do you say? Does it work? That is such a great book, so divinely designed so many, many years ago, and is so perfect for us today. Is that amazing? Yes, they're writing about the story of Jesus Christ. You bet they are. But there's an awful lot more in there than just the story of Jesus Christ. It's all good common sense. Way back there before they had the colleges.